Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the episode of the
Bordering Quarantine, and we started a podcast.
Kenzie, I feel like you're showing off with this new ability to just say the name without your card. Episode 51, and
nailed it!
Absolutely nailing it. Put your card down. You don't need any more. We've done that part.
Oh, I got excited now.
Welcome back. There's things that I usually say. I forgot what they are. If you're new here, welcome. We talk about all things art and entertainment, and sometimes other stuff too. Usually with the help of our random word generator, because we can't usually think of topics on our own. Are we doing that? Do you have a topic to bring to the table today? Or
to be fair, I'd like to talk about the origins of the random word generator.
There's an origin story?
I thought it was kind of like because of our improv roots.
Rather than?
Lack of imagination.
I think it's a bit of both. I think we used the random word generator because we knew we could work with one. But the reason that we have chosen to do so is because we have a lack of inspiration, because we don't come prepared. These are just, they're not even edited.
They're improvised.
Yeah, everything you hear here is said exactly in this order for this exact amount of time. There is no...
So if it's gone haywire, it's gone haywire and you will listen to it. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to listen to it. You're allowed to stop.
If you were there a couple of weeks ago, you listened to a 23-minute conversation on groins. So, like, don't expect high quality. Just expect a bit of Holmes, a bit of Hamesy, having a good time talking about stuff. But Hamesy, we don't have inspiration. Don't try and feign it off as something else. We don't ever know what to talk about. We need a prompt. We need a starting point. I mean, let's be honest. Our starting points very rarely talk about the word in the end. It gets us onto something, though.
Very tangentially. Tangentially. That's a weird word.
Yeah, that's the point. It's just inspiration. It's like, what does it make you think of? And then you start talking about something.
I mean, last time we did talk about how, you know, having limitations helps. And in a way, the word gives us a starting point. It's kind of like that.
Yeah,
you know, it made me think, actually, when they do artificial diamonds, they have to start with a bit of diamond crystal, and then the carbon will keep, like, under pressure, will form in that lattice of the diamond shape.
Part of me wants to know how you know this information and at what point you tend to make some use out of it, because that seems like a very good piece of information for two artists struggling to find money at any point in time.
How do I make a diamond? Well, let me see if I have some diamonds, you know, sitting around, probably all zirconia.
Right.
We just make a lot of quartz.
Yeah.
Do you say quartz or cart? Quartz.
No, quartz.
Quartz.
Quartz. Quark. How do you know this information? What on earth were you Googling to find this out at some point?
I think chemistry, but like in school.
Oh, okay. So is it useful?
I am
okay.
A biologist. Oh. That does not work as a biologist.
Wow, look at you being so sciencey and so proud of your diploma.
Not really. It hasn't gotten me much work, has it?
No, but neither has art, so here we are. But yes, so you need a bit of diamond to create more diamond, is what we're saying.
Yeah, so you need the kind of, you call it,
see,
a seed.
That doesn't work for cake.
You need flour.
No, you see, sugar. You need cake, and whenever there's cake, there's always less cake. I feel this is a very important moment. I really want cake.
You've lost me here.
Sorry. So diamonds. We were starting with a little bit of diamond to make artificial diamond. Continue that.
Well, just kind of the idea of like the word from the random word generator, the thoroth, is kind of like that little crystal,
yeah, exactly,
bit to
it's
get
a starting
started.
Point.
It's our starting point.
It's a starting point. And sometimes we interpret the word completely as it shouldn't be interpreted. And very regularly, we don't talk about the word at all.
But
it's just whatever conversation, how it goes. That's how we do it.
Et voila.
Et voila.
Voila. You know what this is making me think of?
What?
Eurovision's French contestant. Voila! Voila!
Eurovision. It was a while ago now. By the time this goes out, at least, it was like over a month ago. Who knows?
I'm sure plenty of scandals have come out.
Scandals? Like, what scandals?
Well, the only one I know is the potential betting.
Oh, the Betty and Malta thing. That was kind of interesting.
I still am kind of like,
let me
what?
See if I can find a description of what's going on. You talk in the meantime.
Now I'm wondering, because if you watch Eurovision, and if you don't even know what Eurovision was, like, I didn't know what it was until some years ago. It's basically a singing contest for European countries with an asterisk there, because there are many non-European countries like Azerbaijan, Israel, Australia. anyways, I digress. So okay. they're singing contests, and they're really tacky, gaudy. You know, it's not about talent. It's about entertainment, really. Let's be honest. And recently, the Maltese contestant, she was really good. She was like as we said, like a mix between Lizzo and Cara Emerald.
Lizzo.
Oh, Lizzo.
Isn't it Lizzo? So, yeah, it's not probably. Lizzo. Lizzo doesn't sound right.
Like Liza Minnelli. Lizzo. Sorry, Lizzo. Minnelli. Sorry.
Lizzo and?
And Cara Emerald.
Oh, yeah. And Cara. She was quite Cara Emerald.
Yeah. And she was great. But the thing was that when the points are being given out, because each country kind of gives out the points. And then, so it's like a huge stressful time of like 2 hours. Is all the countries, all 44 countries kind of give out their points. And you saw her sitting, and she looked so sad and stressed. And then her backup dancers, they were like all excited.
The time of their
life. Wonder if she knew that there was like betting scandals going on in the back.
You think she might know? Maybe.
Like, you know, kind of like some political idiot decided to spend their government money.
I don't know if she would have known, to be fair. Well, she would know in the sense of how much it would cost and then how much that proportional.
Like, maybe she was feeling the pressure of like,
let's give some context here before you continue on your rant about Eurovision. But yeah, basically, the concerns of... So this is from the very trustworthy, from the Mirror, which is a tabloid, basically. So concerns have surfaced that alleged taxpayer money was used to try and manipulate betting odds in favor of Jumikas, sung by Destiny. Unfortunately, I can't say her second name. Chukunyuri? It's a cool name, though. It's got a K in the middle. Minister Carmelo Abella has ordered an audit of the spending after the Board of Motors broadcaster, PBS, which is responsible for the entry, raised fears of financial mismanagement. Two sources said that Motor dished out €650,000 between the Motor Tourism Authority and PBS. Sources said one PBS insider admitted that part of the budget was spent on financing foreign nationals placing bets on Destiny.
I mean, the idea that people are betting on Eurovision, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah, because like one Eurovision betting expert said, it's claimed Malta was ploughing money into Betfair to keep Destiny as favourite. They know it creates positive PR and ensures viewers pay more attention. They really felt Destiny had winning potential and were desperate to come first because of the tourism boom it brings to the country. Malta finished 7th with 255 points. So... it's like, yeah. I mean, to be fair, we should mention that obviously probably other countries would have spent a huge amount more on their Eurovision entry. But the reason Malta is standing out is also just because, like, if we look at that amount of money, considering
also,
the GDP or
I
the
have a
number
question.
Of people.
If you use... yeah, okay, just the sheer amount of money, okay, yeah, that is questionable. But is really the question is that they use the PR money in betting... or is it that they spent that much money?
I'm a little confused. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think one of the questions is, I think they're both there. Question one is like, why have we spent so much money when our economy is struggling? And two, how has it been that they've plowed it into the betting? Basically, what they were trying to do is to make her odds better. I guess so she'd be talked about.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that also influences the jury in the end as well. Who knows? It doesn't make a huge... like, it's kind of confusing.
Because I would argue that it's probably, you know, not talking about, you know, the obscene amount of money that was spent on it in general. I'm not talking about that. But the use of the money... I mean, it's kind of a genius, to be fair. The idea of like, oh, well... because it's like any PR company is going to be like, okay, where do we put our money? Do we put it on Facebook? Do we put it on Instagram? Or do we put it on betting?
Yeah, I don't...
I'm like, wow, who thought of this?
I have no idea.
I'm like, what kind of people do you have in the government that know...
have gone...
who know that betting is a good PR method?
This is genius.
It's kind of like, wow, it's a world I don't know anything about, as we determined a few episodes ago when we talked about betting, and I just do nothing about it.
Yeah.
But it's like, wow... yeah, I guess, because, I mean, people become invested, and it's like, oh, well, if you see somebody putting in a lot of money on a certain artist, like, well, they're confident.
Yeah.
Maybe I should bet as well. You know, you have, like, people spearheading in a way a wave of bets.
Well, I think it's kind of, I mean, I don't know if it's like creating fake popularity.
Yeah.
So basically you've created, you're like, no, she's going to be super popular, and thereby like, oh, I probably should like her.
Yeah.
Kind of, I think that kind of trend of, but like, then that's, you like what's PR. Fashionable.
That's all advertisement. You know, if you, the more you see it.
Which is what they've
it,
done, yeah.
Yeah, the more you tend to like it, or, you know, this is like basic, I guess, advertising psychology. What I find ingenious is the use of betting as the method for it.
Yeah, if only we had worked out kind of how that that was relevant. But yeah, they've obviously plowed money into some betting format. I don't know. I was also kind of the opinion that it's kind of ingenious, and if there's no rules against it, then what can you do?
Yeah,
which was a decent enough entry.
Also, if it worked, I mean, that's one of the big questions I think in marketing is like, oh, how much is was my return on investment on ads?
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like it's a lot of guesswork. I get the impression.
I would, yeah, assume so.
You know, so I am curious what the return on investment was for the betting. Because, I mean, what place did she end up in?
7th.
That's pretty darn good out of 44.
Yeah, but I think the whole point is they wanted her to win. Which is a very different thing to coming 7th.
Top 10.
Because, I mean, what happens is then you have to host it in your home country. It's going to drag people there.
Yeah.
And especially, I guess, after COVID and Malta being a country that is so reliant on tourism, that it must have been like a, wow, what a great idea. Except until you get caught, then it's no longer what a great idea. I feel like my allergies are, I don't think I have allergies that much, but I feel like they're playing, I suddenly feel like my nose is blocked and I sound a little higher pitched than usual. Do I sound more higher pitched?
I think it's because...
Maybe it's in my ears.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I thought that after
I had a funny experience about this today. I had earbuds on because I was going to go for a run. And then I thought I should brush my teeth.
Wait, let's just take a second here. Because the only reason you brought this up is so that you could tell the world that you went for one run after 6 years of never running. So you brush your teeth?
Yeah, in the morning before my run.
Ah.
And I had my earbuds in my ears.
Okay.
And I felt like the toothbrushing experience, the sounds were different.
Were they louder?
Yeah, they were a bit more intense.
Yeah, I think they would be. Because isn't that...
It's like blocking... Yeah, it was weird. I was like,
why? Well, it's blocking your hearing. So I guess it's just like, it's mostly like feel.
You're just hearing the sounds coming in through your cavity, like inside your head. The sounds coming from the inside, not from the outside. Oh. So I think that's what's happening to you.
I think you're right. Yeah,
you're hearing your voice from the inside, not from the outside.
My inside voice, not my outside voice.
I'm sure that's not what parents thought of when they would tell their kids.
Yeah, inside voice.
Just cover your ears and talk.
I feel like we don't tell children that much. I think it's more adults. You're like, you need to use your inside voice.
Oh,
I feel like it's more of an adult.
No, I think I've heard indoor voice. Use your indoor voice, which that would make sense. But your inside voice, that's, I guess, when you're saying everything you think, which is basically what I do in my life, and nothing makes sense because that's how my brain works. It jumps from one thing to another.
It's true. It's like a frog on one of those lily pads.
To be fair, no, I think I do think the thought fully through.
You think the thought
but then
through?
I don't speak it fast enough, so by the time my thought I'm done with the thought, I'm halfway talking about it, and then I'm on a new thought. And then I start talking about the new thought, and that's why things come out a little
messy.
Yeah.
Just like now, really, isn't it?
I thought I did pretty well.
If anyone understood that, do let us know. Anyway, so yeah, Malta's betting scandal. I mean, it's kind of ingenious. It didn't work. I mean, I guess maybe it worked partly. Like,
you might still get lots of tourism in Malta.
The problem is now you're like, okay, but like, how much of it came down to the fact that she was one of the favorites? And like, how much of it is just like the popularity of the performance?
Yeah. Now it's marred with that. Because now you're like, oh, is it because of her skill as an artist? Or is it because of the betting?
But I guess that could be said for any of them. Because I think the Italians were actually the favorites, the betting favorites.
Oh, yeah, from the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and they got a huge amount of public votes.
Mm. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that's what won it for them. But, yeah. then the idea that I don't know how Switzerland and France end up being the like the jury votes of the countries. I enjoyed the French song. The French song was, but that was because I understood it. If I didn't understand it, it would have irritated me. It's another waily ballad, but the meaning of behind the French song was kind of nice. It's like, this is who I am kind of thing. The Swiss one just irritated me, and I understood both of them.
Okay.
But yeah, they were the popular jury favorites, and I was like, it's so not Eurovision. Eurovision should be gaudy and ridiculous, and
maybe not everyone has that opinion.
Well, no, maybe a musical clearly jury not the doesn't. Jury.
Clearly, the jury does not have that opinion.
Whereas that was, you know, I was like, oh, I was like, I mean, I was voting for Iceland was my winner.
I mean, those sweaters. You couldn't go any more gaudy.
No.
And the asymmetrical dancing, which I still can't get over.
I loved Iceland. I thought they were great. And I was disappointed that they didn't do better.
Daddy and the Gangnam Magnets. Oh, that's a mouthful.
It is quite. So, yeah. But then Malta did pretty well.
Yeah. That one silent. And that will not be cut up. So,
yeah, you'll have to deal with that silence.
You'll have to deal with
it. We might as well change the topic now, because we still have a little period of time to talk about something. But we've already discussed betting scandals.
Yeah.
And by discussed it, I mean we've just acknowledged it's a thing. And that we have no opinion.
Well,
on
no,
this.
That it's a PR method. No, not PR. Like advertising, marketing. I don't know. It is confusing.
I think any of those are accurate.
I mean, just the idea that is a way of swaying interest.
Public vote. Yeah.
I find that.
Wait, isn't that how propaganda works?
I don't think there's betting involved.
No betting, but like. You see enough of something, you're like, oh, I guess it's...
Yeah, but that's just, like, the basic advertising psychology.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Okay, now you choose the next topic of conversation. And it can't be about Malta's betting scandal, because we discussed that already in great
detail.
So
do you think if you had enough cupcakes with your face on it, you'd become popular enough? Because that's also marketing strategy. Tragedy.
Marketing tragedy. I don't know how that works, because I think you'd eat my face.
But you'd see it.
But very brief. You might not. If it was like you.
Yeah, but if
it was like someone like you, they'd pick up the cupcake and shove it in their mouth without looking at
it. Okay, but what if a company like Starbucks decides to carry the Emma Muffin Top?
The Emma Muffin Top. Oh, so appropriate.
And it has your face printed on it, because they do that now. They can print your face in edible format.
Do you think I'd become popular?
That's the question.
I think so.
I mean, based on advertising psychology.
People would, like, share me all over the internet on Instagram.
It's like, oh,
would
look.
Share my muffin top. and then, you know, I would get to lots of people. And then they'd at least know Emma.
At least they know you'd taste good, hopefully.
Yeah, well, if it tastes bad, then that's unfortunate.
Then I would be like, no, take my face off it. And then sue Starbucks for putting you...
For putting my face on something
that's like
didn't
defamation.
Taste good.
Yeah, that's
like defamation. Something with raisins in it, for example. Because who wants raisins and stuff? I don't want raisins and stuff. I feel like I'm getting hungry.
What would be, if you had to have, you know, the Emma Muffin Top, what flavor would it be?
Oh, that's like a question that I don't know if I have the answer to. My gut instinct is like chocolate.
Okay.
But then again, I love chocolate cake. Chocolate muffins are okay. Chocolate biscuits are good.
But mate, chocolate chunks in the muffin.
Yes, that sounds nice. Like chocolate chunks. What was that one we had? Because... This is a secret inside tip if you live in the same town as us, which we shouldn't tell you about because then you might go steal it from us. But the garden center in Bennekom has the best muffins ever. If you ever need a good muffin, it's the place to go.
How dare you share that?
Should I cut that out of the edit?
The one thing edited
The one
out.
Thing we cut out is like, beep!
Oh, man. I considered sharing it one time on Instagram. Not that I have many people looking at myself, but I redacted.
But see, your Instagram is probably more popular than our 6 unique listeners. You know, guys, we really appreciate the 6 of you who are here. And we're hoping that no one other than the 6 of you spreads this information because it's a big deal.
You are in
like,
the
I'm
know.
Not the biggest muffin fan, but those things are amazing.
They are.
Anyway.
The caramel one.
Yeah, it was the caramel muffin. I think that's what I would go for. I would go for like a caramel muffin. So like with that kind of caramel inside, that would be the Emma one. Plus, I'm just like caramel. I'm hot and sticky and warm, you know? Hot, sticky, and warm is awkward. I was gonna go with maybe.
I guess with the summer coming, yes, you would be hot, sticky, and warm. Okay, I'll give you this. I'll give you a winter muffin version.
Okay, the winter muffin would probably be chocolate. What do you mean a winter muffin version?
You have two muffins flavors.
Okay, well, I want caramel as my main one. The original Emma muffin top is definitely a caramel muffin.
Salted caramel.
I'm now having serious doubts about keeping our original hint in there. I don't want the world to know about this. I don't know how I feel anymore. I feel a little betrayed by myself.
Yeah, you have betrayed.
Betrayed this.
It's okay. This is how we know if we've gone viral. If we start seeing
a lot of people. That's not going to be okay. Then I'll lose my muffins. Or maybe they'll sponsor us and they'll just send us a load of muffins.
That would be nice.
Bennecombe Gardening Center, which I'm not naming. If you want to send us a load of muffins...
We accept.
We're there most.
Or a lifetime supply or a year time supply of
muffins. Lifetime supply of
every weekend
gardening muffins, please. I'll accept them very nicely. But yes, I would do. I don't know. I wouldn't do fruit because don't believe that fruit is meant to be in cake, even though I quite like fruit and cake sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like it should be indulgent galore.
You just
I like
don't
every
like fiber.
No, I like fruit, but I like fruit as fruit. There's a good sentence for you.
It's funny.
Well, to be fair, I do like, there's quite a lot of them that we've had that I have enjoyed. Like banana is also really nice in them. In a
banana
muffin.
Chocolate.
But in a muffin, there's not much that I would like in the way of fruit.
Did you ever have those bananas, frozen bananas that were dipped into chocolate?
I've never heard of those things before. It's you who've spoken about them.
This is a Honduran thing. Okay, well, in Honduras, they used to do that in the, I think this ice cream shop doesn't even exist anymore.
You know that Lynn is going to kill us, right? Because we just got a full down, like a full rabbit hole of muffins.
Well, you know what happened is that there was like that gap, that moment of like, oh, well, we should change the subject. And the first thing that I thought was my stomach feels hungry and I feel like tradition dictates we must talk about food. So I just went for the Emma Muffin Top.
It's a good shout. Guys, if you would like to see an Emma Muffin Top in your local cafe, do let us know. Maybe we'll start producing them. Like, you know, little rice paper pictures of my face on some muffins.
I'm going to eat them, though.
I feel like cupcakes might be better because then you can have like, the buttercream and then like the little picture on top.
Right. I keep forgetting that those two things are different.
They're different. They're not the same. Muffins are muffins. There you are.
Right. That was so...
On that helpful
educative.
Piece, on that helpful fact, it's time to call it a day. If you would like to drop us a message and to let us know whether you'd like to experience the Emma Muffin Top, please do so. You can do so on.
Please do email us at boredomandquarantinepodcast@gmail.com, or you can drop us a DM at our Instagram at dinocorn_TV.
I've never seen you err so much at this. I've had this whole recording session, you've been erring a lot.
Have I?
But this just reading this thing, you're usually so smooth with it. You've lost your smoothness.
You want to know why? It's because I switch the order of things.
Oh, that's probably why. That's a good
reason.
And
then my brain's like, is this right? Is this right? Asking myself, is this right every 5 seconds?
I see.
And then you get
Great. What quality.
You're welcome.
What a live performer. You can find us on anchor.fm or any place that you listen to your podcasts on every Monday at 5 p.m. Dutch time. We hope to see you there. We have been the...
Though we got bored doing quarantine and we started a podcast.
Podcast. Until soon.
Bye-bye.
That was the quickest bye-bye ever.